Good morning and welcome to ASI Radio's Tuesday morning show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk about promo products and so much more. I'm Joe Haley. I'll be leading the way today. We have a few of our regulars are not with us today, but we do have a special guest in studio with us from our marketing department, our creative director, Mr. Jake Kralik. Jake, welcome.
Thanks, Joe Haley. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Hey, today we're talking about commencement speakers, or more specifically, what's the best advice you got upon entering the business world?
Yes, I just read an article about the 12 best commencement speeches, and typically it's, you know, celebrities or politicians that colleges ask to give their commencement address. I had Bill Cosby at mine because I went to Temple, and that was his, you know, big alma mater. But
did he talk about pudding pops?
No.
Jello pudding pops?
He didn't.
Fat Albert.
But they did some of the snippets from the best commencement addresses, and I thought, well, that might be interesting to know what people's best business advice was that they ever received.
All right, well, that's Michelle Bell. She's the editor of Supplier. Oh, I'm sorry, SGR. We're going to SGR now, aren't we?
We are.
We're going to SGR.
Really?
So she's, and she gave us her commencement speaker, Jake. You went to Temple as well. You graduated from Temple. Who was your commencement speaker?
I have to be honest. I didn't go to my graduation because I split to go to Colorado and be a ski bum.
Nice.
They mailed me my diploma.
All right.
Is anyone here surprised by any of that?
No.
Right. Also in studio with us today is the editor of Advantages Magazine, Kathy Houston. Kathy, you went to Rutgers, and your commencement
speaker?
I have
no idea.
You have no idea,
wow.
So I would add that much of an impact.
I don't even know if we had one.
Okay. I went to Lock Haven University. It's in Central PA. It's the State College of PA. And I was like Jake. I did not walk in my graduation. Sat on it.
Weren't you on like the 6-year plan or something?
I went for two, took a year off, changed my major, and had to finish up in 3 years. So 5 years of actual school,
okay.
6 years from high school. But you know, I just didn't feel like walking. My mother was never so mad at me in my life.
I'm sure.
We sat up on a hill and we drank beer, and I couldn't tell you who the commencement speaker was either.
You know who just spoke at who gave Berkeley's commencement address?
Who? Mm-hmm.
Very cool, Jimmy Page.
Really?
No, that's
really?
Something. Yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder what he said.
Well, there's a lot of noise right now about commencement speakers, you know, protests and speakers dropping out and, you know, students not wanting this one or that one. So
Condi canceled on Rutgers.
She did.
They should just let everybody speak and just hear what they say.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, isn't that what all about? I mean, you can't poo-poo someone unless you actually hear what they say, right?
Yeah, no poo-pooing.
That's right.
Moore let me speak this
Who?
Year. I got up, yeah.
Moore College of Art?
Moore College of
at
Art.
At a commencement address?
At the for the senior class, for the senior show, they have a little thing where the dean, it's small school, so the dean gets up and she gives a speech. And then since we donated money, and Blick Art Supplies donated money, they got up first and they gave a speech. And so I got up then and I came up with a speech on the fly right there after they told me we wouldn't have to give a speech.
And is it on YouTube?
It is, I don't know. Maybe
and here
it is.
I thought Jimmy Page was the wackiest speaker.
It was funny. It was a fun thing to do.
So tell us, you know, call us in 215-953-4979. Tell us what your best piece of business advice you learned upon entering the business world or at your commencement address. Answering your phone calls will be, as always, Facebook, Vinny Driscoll. Vinny, where'd you graduate from?
Penn State.
And woo-hoo! Your commencement address was?
No idea.
See?
All right, blah, blah, blah. And also manning all the sound effects that we're going to hear.
Lauren.
There we go. It's Lauren. Lauren, where'd you graduate from?
Penn State.
And who was your commencement address? All right. So Michelle's the only one that remembered who it was.
Well, it's Bill Cosby, I mean.
Yeah, come on.
All right, so give us a call now, 215-953-4979. If you put you on the air, we're going to give you that fabulous radio prize pack, Jake. It has $25 Visa gift card, the finger puppets, the hand puppets, or the hand fans.
Whatever.
The fans, whatever. And we're going to give you some ASI Radio drinkware. But before we get started, what's on tap for today?
Kathy is going to talk about three myths that kill strategic planning. Jake is going to talk about how to build your brand online. I'm going to address customer service details that make all the difference. Jake, what do you do if you screw up? You're going to be talking about that soon.
Apologize.
Kathy's going to delve into why doing competitive intelligence is really important. But first, we have the news.
With Michelle Bell.
Now back to you.
We begin this morning with product news. In a ruling that could impact the sales of promotional license plates, the Iowa Supreme Court said last week that drivers could be pulled over if a license plate frame covered up any part of the state's license plates. Check out Promogram today for a full detail. On to international news now. Alibaba Group has filed for its much-anticipated IPO last week. The China-based e-commerce giant is expected to raise $16 billion in its U.S.-based IPO. The company has yet to say whether it will list on NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. Shipping news now. FedEx announced it will start calculating all shipping charges by package size, a move that will trigger price increases on one-third of ground shipments. The change will impact internet retailers like Amazon, according to analysts, although ad specialty suppliers and some web-driven distributors appear likely to be affected as well. On to distributor top 40 news now. Staples Inc., parent to Staples Promotional Products, has acquired PNI Digital Media, a company whose technology facilitates the sale of millions of promotional products like photo books, calendars, business cards, and wedding invitations. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show in Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
I have the coolest pair of sunglasses. They're really, really cool, and you have to see what they do. You have to watch.
Okay.
Today on ASI TV. You got to watch. Jake's looking at me like, what are they? Oh. All right.
I want to know.
All right. Well, you got to watch the Joe Show today. Let's go across the country to California. We're going to talk to our friend Leighton Lee. He is on line three. Vinny, Leighton is going to tell us about insurance policies. Good morning, Leighton. How are you?
Good morning, folks. I hope everyone's doing well.
Who was your commencement speaker?
Well, I'm sitting here on my patio in what's already 80 degrees out here. We're going to have a 95-degree day here in Southern California, and a little bit of a heat wave, and watching my lawn die as I speak. But anyways, my commencement speaker, I had to really dig back in the back brain cells of my mind, and it was Norman Vincent Peale, who was a very popular motivational speaker back in those days. And I don't even know if he's around anymore, but he gave a very, very inspiring chat. I went to Pepperdine in Malibu, and that was a long time ago. But anyways, I do remember how inspiring
that's awesome.
His chat was. Anyways, today's topic for Product Safety Minute is a little bit of a follow-on from last week's topic, in which I spoke about supplier indemnity agreements between suppliers and distributors. So today's tip is really more about how distributors and suppliers can protect themselves in the event catastrophe hits, whether it's a product liability claim, an injury, and God forbid, a death. And car accidents, anything that can be catastrophic that could affect the relationship and have a third party sue a distributor, and then the distributor would have to name the supplier for indemnity in any lawsuits. And that's an insurance policy. So many of us in our industry forget that insurance is available, and it's actually a best practice to incorporate into our protection program in doing business. And the main policy that we should all have for our businesses is the commercial general liability policy. This is pretty standard. Hopefully every distributor and supplier has this in place. In the adequate amounts, typically big brands like Disney, Coca-Cola, and others in our industry require a minimum of $2 million worth of commercial general liability insurance, and that includes product liability insurance, work comp insurance in case an injury occurs to a worker and decide to sue third parties involved. Automobile, if you have truck drivers that are making deliveries on behalf of clients and stuff, the drivers and the vehicles will be protected, but also the third parties in case a car accident occurs while making a delivery of some sort. Distributors should always ask that their companies be named as an additional insurer. This is very, very important for all of you distributors. Make sure your company is named as an additional insured on that supplier's policy, so that in case of an accident or a catastrophe or an injury from a product, that distributor, your distributor company, will be as if you were on the policy, because that's exactly what happens, is that if you ask to be named as an additional insured, you are on that policy. So there's no question and no unanswered questions about whether or not you will have coverage. And last but not least, the distributor should always ask the supplier's insurance company to provide the distributor with a certificate of the insurance. Certificate of insurance names you as the additional insured and lists all the policy coverages and their limits and when they occur, when they kick in the event of an accident or a catastrophe. And that concludes this Product Safety Minute. I hope you all have a great week, and we'll talk next week, okay?
Thanks, Lee. Great advice as usual, and take care of that lawn. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines now where we're talking about the best business advice you've ever received, in the vein that there's going to be many, many commencement addresses coming up over the next couple of weeks. Well, let's go, Vinny, to line two, where we have Nina on the line. Hi, Nina.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good. Yeah,
what's up?
So the best business advice I got, I received in college, I was a communications major, so one of the things was they pushed in your head was to ask good questions. So if you want to, you know, give an interview, you want to ask the right questions so you get the right answers. You want to get as much information as you can. And it also forces you to prepare for if you're going to go in on a sales call, you want to look into the background of the company, you know, get some information so you have a good set of questions to ask. And, you know, if you ask the right questions, it kind of instills confidence and credibility so the person will, you know, say, oh, this person knows what they're doing. And, you know, also you control the conversation. So if you're, you know, you're asking the questions, you're controlling the conversation. So that's power. So I think asking good questions is a great piece of advice.
Do you have a question for us that's really good? You know, that's, you know, we've all heard there's no stupid questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are.
Sometimes they seem stupid, but sometimes they're actually not stupid.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to save time, you know.
All right, Nina, here's a good question for you. Would you like a prize pack?
I certainly would. That's a great question.
All right, stay on the line, and Facebook Vinny Driscoll is going to get your information and get that out to you. Vinny, let's go to line four, where we're going back across the country again to California to talk to our friend Stanley. Hi, Stanley.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good morning.
What's your best piece of advice you ever received?
Well, going back to the commencement speech, one of the best ones I heard from Rodney Dangerfield, and they put it in a movie. It said, as you graduate, you're planning on going out into the world, and my advice is, don't go.
That's good.
And he said, watch out for number one, but don't step on number two.
Hey, you know what? That's exactly what he said right after it.
Yeah, see, look at that. I know that movie. So what's the best piece of advice you received, Stanley? Was it really that?
Yeah. Well, the best advice I ever received, and it really came in handy somewhat after the fact, but while it was happening and it got a big lesson, was get it in writing. Always get it in writing. And then the other best advice that I've always kept with me, and especially when people are price, you know, my grandfather said, never fly on a plane built by the lowest bidder. And I've probably used that with my clients thousands of times, and it sometimes shakes them up, and, you know, hey, in this world where comparing apples to apples isn't that easy till after you get your product, building that trust and relationship really helps with that. So that was mine. What was your best advice you ever got?
Mine was be friendly with your competitors.
Very good. That's good.
Oh,
mine comes from my mother. She always says, this too shall pass. And I use that like often in business too, because sometimes you think something's a crisis and it never is, looking back like a few months later.
Mine was
true. It's funny you say be friendly with your competitors, because that has turned out so good in so many times where you need a little help, you can't find something, and being nice to competitors, especially the ones you meet at the shows. I've called people and they're so open.
Yeah, more often than not, Stanley, people want to help other people. They want to help people that they're friendly with.
Sure. And mine was it's always, you know, be kind to everyone, you know, because you never know from the CEO of the company to the, you know, the guys who empty the trash at night.
Well, how come you're not kind to me, Joe? Yeah. How come?
This too shall pass, Kathy.
my friend told me years ago when I was about 20 years old, he said, be good to the people on the way up because you're going to see them on the way down.
Yeah, you know,
that's right.
That's true.
My mom always said, don't burn your bridges.
True. Mm, true that.
Yeah. All right, stay on the line, Stanley. Vinny's going to get your information. But Vinny, before you do that, please take us to line one where Jacob is on the line. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So what do you got for us?
So my advice maybe doesn't apply to the college students right away, but certainly down the line if they want to be entrepreneurs, is that great managers are made, not born. And I especially see it in this industry where there's a lot of born salespeople, and they build up their companies, they do a great job, but as they grow bigger, as they add employees, they don't tend to be good managers because they still have to have that sales mentality, and they really need to learn how to become a great manager and how to interact with people.
So, are you a manager?
I am, and I have people above me too, and same thing. They've built up the company. You know, they're salespeople, but they have to learn how to be a good manager.
All right. One more question for you, Jacob. Who was your commencement address speaker?
So it was Mr. Jon Snow, the former U.S. Secretary of the Treasury.
How about that? Good for you, cool. Jacob, for remembering.
Where'd you go?
I went to a small school in Ohio.
Called?
not many people know it.
All right. Well, Jacob, stay on the line. Thanks for giving us a call. Vinny, we'll get your information. Michelle, I know that we have several Facebook comments.
We do, actually. The first one is from our friend Cindy Jorgensen with Brown & Bigelow. She says, here's my advice. You have nothing to lose regarding prospecting. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and ask for business. If they say no, who cares? You didn't lose anything because you didn't have it to begin with. And sometimes they say yes.
That's true.
Next, we have a comment from Danielle Lum. She says, make them pay up front and don't make special deals with family and friends. In business.
Very good. I like that.
Dawn Goti says, don't take verbal orders. Always have a hard copy of what the customers want so you don't get screwed, which is kind of what Stanley mm-hmm. said. From our friend Brad White, we have never stop learning.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a good one.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Chris Clark says, stop selling and start listening. He says, that has always stuck with me as the most profound advice I've ever received. And being a slight introvert with a minor speech impediment, it has probably been the most profitable advice I've ever received, too. Good for him.
Nice. That is good.
And Paul Driscoll, not related to our friend Vinny Driscoll, says, never underestimate the power of a good tchotchke.
Aha. Wow. I like it. Yeah. You know, this is something that Michelle and I have discussed often about, you know, recent college grads going into the workplace and stuff, is that there should be some course where they just learn how to do things like answer a phone when you come into a meeting, bring something to write down with. Uh-huh. Just those things that, you know, if you don't have someone to mentor you in the workplace, at least you come and have that working.
Well, shouldn't
knowledge.
They take do an internship?
Yes.
An internship
they go into
would
the
help. My yeah. son's well, going to start a co-op next
they
week.
They have to do internships.
Do they have
yeah,
to?
Yeah, they have to.
We didn't have to.
I didn't.
I
no
had
one
to.
Pushed me.
See, I didn't. It wasn't part of the curriculum.
Yeah, it wasn't part
and,
of mine
it,
either.
It wasn't and forced on me.
Yeah, you did it?
Yeah.
That's why I'm so awesome.
Hey.
I think there should be some little kind of like primer class before you graduate
yeah.
college to teach you how. I mean, they teach you the bigger picture concepts about mm-hmm. working in business, but not the basic stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I mean, how many times you call someone, you know, a business call, and they go, hello? Like, well, who answered the phone? I want to know that. You know?
I don't use the phone anymore.
Hi, this is Jake.
We don't use the phone.
Hi,
we
Jake.
Just text.
You're so modern. All right, let's take a quick break.
Wow.
We're going to hear from one of today's show-sponsored Hanes. And when we come back, Kathy's going to tell – oh, no, Michelle's going to tell us 10 customer service details that make all the difference.
Hanes-branded Printwear has a new website designed specifically for screen printers and promotional product distributors. HanesInc.com features detailed product information and resources to help you make the most of Hanes t-shirts and fleece. For the first time, you can download high-res front and back hollows of every product in every color in the format and resolution you need. Apparel pages are organized by color and product line, so you can easily find exactly what you're looking for. In addition to high-res hollows, you will also find helpful sales tips on every product page. Each product is assigned a helpful return on investment scenario to illustrate the untapped return potential for you and your customers in every interaction. In our resources section, a dedicated return on investment page provides additional questions and insight to help you better understand how to meet your customers' needs with better products and better guidance. Visit HanesInc.com today for high-res hollows, sales tips, and many more resources.
All right, and welcome back. We're going to throw it right over to Michelle. Michelle, 10 customer service details.
Yep, we're not going to do all 10, but guess what number one is on the list? If you call up and complain to somebody, your bank, an airline, anybody, what is the one thing that you want them to know?
That you're upset?
It would be nice if they remembered your name while they were talking to you.
Oh.
Does
oh.
anything drive you more crazy when yes. you call or you're yeah. lodging, even somebody in person, you're lodging a complaint and they just have not even taken the time mm-hmm. to make note or to remember your name? How annoying is that, that you would meet somebody and not remember their name?
Or to ask.
Or when they say, I don't have authorization to do that.
We will get to that, but yeah, the most important thing that you can do right off the bat is jot down or remember to do some sort of word association to remember the person's name, because it really makes them feel as though you're listening and that you care. Second, I would say empower people, and this kind of goes to what Jake said, where you know you don't want to have somebody go through a litany of what you know. They're aggrieved about, you know, and what they're upset about when you have no power to do anything about it, when you can't fix their problem. It's frustrating. Moreover, when they say, let me transfer you to somebody else, and you have to tell the same story.
Oh, again. Yeah.
Comcast.
Yeah, let me tell you about Comcast.
No, let's not.
Additionally, and this goes back to that point, when someone is talking to you, take the time to write notes about what they're saying so you can double back and address those points and make reference to them. Here's a good thing to do beforehand. If you have the opportunity, if you have a message that somebody's going to be complaining about somebody, take the time to do due diligence on that client so you're aware of their account history, what they have to say.
Comcast.
Why Comcast? They don't do that?
No, they don't. It's like you can call them. It's like I've had issues with them for 2 years straight, and they call. It's like this is the first time you're called. It's like you really don't have a program where you're saying, this pain in the neck is calling again, the guy, the crazy guy.
It's so easy to do in this day and age with technology and different programs is to keep a history of a client,
definitely.
Whether or not they're a good pay, you know, everything.
Right.
If they're a constant complainer. But again, it makes the person feel as though that, you know, there's some level of comfort, there's some level of recognition that, yes, I am a client, I am a good customer, you know, please service me in kind.
Mm-hmm.
Follow up with a verifiable list of actions. Here's what your problem is. Here's what I'm going to do to fix it in this time frame. If you don't hear from me, do this. This will happen. I had this happen yesterday. I was on the phone with US Air about some missing miles, 16,000, in fact, for my trip to Asia. And the guy I spoke to, who I just got by happenstance, he had the whole history. He knew exactly what I was talking about. And he said, this should be up in a week. If it isn't, call this number, ask for this person, and this is the next step that they will take. And that really kind of diffused me, who was ready to go.
Because
I was ready to go for my 16,000 miles.
It's a lot of miles.
So we will put all of this up online.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. Okay, we're going to Kathy. Three myths that kill strategic myths.
I can't say that word, so.
Okay.
Okay, the first one is productivity is the goal when you're doing strategic planning. Productivity is about getting things done, but strategic thinking is about getting the right things done well. So it all comes down to deciding which things you have to act upon first. Without a strategy, productivity is meaningless. The second one is the leader's job is to identify what's important. And this HBR blog is pointing out that everything on your list is important to somebody in the company. They all have some kind of value, no matter how vague. So strategic teams decide which projects will contribute most to the declared strategy of the organization and put the rest of the important projects on hold till those main things are done. And then finally, strategic thinking is only about thinking. Ultimately, strategic thoughts must yield strategic action. And Napoleon once said, nothing is more difficult and therefore more precious than to be able to decide. So it all boils down to leaders deciding which things to act on.
And he ended up in exile.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're hanging our hat on a short man who ended up in Elba.
The HBR is.
This was an island. Could have been worse.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kathy.
You're
we'll
welcome.
We'll post all of them later on.
Yes.
All three of those what?
You
myths.
Know. Yes. Misconceptions.
Misconceptions. There you go. Very good. She's an editor. Don't try that at home. All right. Let's take one more quick break. We're going to hear from today's other show sponsor, ASI Education. And when we come back, Jake's going to give us 7 tips to building your brand online.
Whee.
At ASI, we know that education is the key to success. So we're excited to announce our newly reimagined online learning center. Log in and test the all-new intuitive interface. Share photos, stories, and communicate with other ASI members who are learning along with you. Expand your knowledge with wikis, discussion boards, and more than 350 courses, which include valuable marketing and sales information. And for your convenience, the Online Learning Center now uses a single sign-on access like your other ASI services. Best of all, it's free. Become an industry expert and see what's new on the ASI Online Learning Center at www.asicentral.com/online learning. And we are back.
That makes me want to get on that online learning center today, Jeff.
I know. How about it? I'm sure we're going to crash the system because people hear that voice. It's like, let's do this now.
I like soft Joe Haley voice. Hello.
We all like the soft Joe Haley voice.
Is there one?
We don't hear it more often.
Thanks, Jake. Coming up next, we'll be talking about 7 tips to building your brand online. Jake Kralik, as our creative director in the market department, what do you have for us?
Well, Joe, these are my tips.
Oh, my God.
We turn to NPR. Go ahead.
You know, building your brand online. The big things about building your brand online are you need to be present. And I know this says be vigilant, but, you know, one of the biggest things that you see with companies that are online, if they're on, especially on social media, is that you have the ability as a customer now to complain online and to post either a rant or a thing that you want to change. But you have to actually monitor and listen to what your customers are saying in those conversations and then respond. Be honest. You know, if something is wrong, say, I'm sorry. And keep people updated. Tell them what's going on. If there's a problem or if things are good, tell them that it's good. Be open, too. You know, this word transparency is everywhere. And if you aren't willing to be open about what your brand is doing or what's going on, you're going to kill your customer's loyalty. You also have to be very active. You know, I'm going to tout ASI. I never tout ASI, but we have blogs here that are run and kept very active, you know, not only from our president, but from Michelle. And we really have, you know, some activity going on from our leaders in this company, too. The other three on here are be consistent, be creative. And the last one I love, it's be proud. You should really be proud of your brand. And I think that find something in it that you want to tout and then spread it everywhere. And the last little piece that I want to say, you know, if you one thing that I'm really getting into is how people's mnemonic devices are triggered by commercials. And I think that everyone should start to look at doing jingles again and combine those jingles with the videos that you make so that every time you hear some sort of snippet of sound, you start to think about that brand.
Maybe and I would don't just change like, the music.
Can I point out that Jake has on blue polka dot socks today?
Very nice.
Yes. You can tell he's creative.
Because he's here at ASI Radio.
Oh, my. That's Joe's jingle.
Wow.
That was a jingle.
Good, Joe.
Oh, my God.
I have a question for you, Jake. Is there a point where it becomes too much? And I say that because right now I follow someone on Facebook who just wrote a book. And the amount of self-promotion, and I know it's a good thing, has gotten to the point for me where it's just like, enough already. We know you wrote the book, you know. You're in a position where, unlike other people, where you have, you know, this voice and you can tell everyone about it. But, man, chill out, dude.
Well, I mean, that's the balance of the brand, too. It's how much are you shoving down people's throats, and are you able to find something else other than just writing the book? Are they sharing, like, a page from inside the book, or are they sharing something else? Like, if the book is their brand, how are they differentiating
each
of the
posts?
It's
all the things that we talk about with, you know, social media. It's like people have bought the book and have posted pictures of them reading the book, and then he retweets it.
Yeah.
And then it's like he's been invited to this television show when he talks about this television show. And it's at the point where I feel like it's like complete saturation. And it's like I'm starting to turn it off. I fly right past that.
Well, you can unfriend them.
I know. I'm close to it. I mean, it's
yeah, I mean, there
level.
Should be a balance, obviously.
It's really
there.
Not a friend. It's a
he's obviously,
you
know,
but
is the book, I guess the second part is, did the book just launch?
Just launched.
Yeah. So it's like, it's at a high activity time. So you figure 6 months of spreading that, it'll die down in 6 months. And if it doesn't, then, you know.
You know, I think a little goes a long way. There's somebody that I follow on Twitter, and she's very well known in Silicon Valley and in the tech industry, Kara Swisher.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, she tweets every 2 seconds, mm-hmm. like to the point where I'm ready to unfollow her because mm-hmm. it's too much.
Because it's in your feed, and that's what you see is that person. It's like, I can't get to anything else, and I don't have time to read all this stuff.
I follow morning dailies, and they tweet every 2 seconds mm-hmm. as well. And I find that some of it I take, and some of it I just...
That's different, though. I mean, someone like a news organization tweeting is tweeting news, and you would think that that would be, you know, more forthcoming, you know, but it's after a while, it's like with some things. I don't know. I just wanted to know if there's a point where everyone should know, like, ease up a little bit here. This is too much.
Balance is good, and as I always will say, social media is meant to be social and not business, so keep it light.
All right. I unfriended someone who would literally count 80 posts in a row. It's like, I'm done. Too much. All right, we're going to go to Michelle's favorite part of the radio show, and she shakes her head no, but it really is. Our favorite things. So let's start out with Michelle. She has something from?
Akron Roll. That's ASI 30270, and it is a little wristlet that's blingy, and it can hold your wallet or your phone when you're at a show. So it's always handy.
It's like a little blingy
bracelet.
I like it.
Easier to steal off your wrist.
Oh. All right, there you go, Jay. Kathy, what do you have for us today?
I have some summertime flair for your tech promotions. It's from Global Reach Network, ASI 57582, and they have a watermelon slice-shaped 8-gigabyte USB drive. So, and it comes packaged in a PVC bag, and you can read all about it on asicentral.com/radio.
Very good. Jake, what do you got? Jake bought nothing. Okay, pass this down to Kathy because Kathy's going to hold it up to the camera for me. This is called a plantini, and in this little container here, there's actually a live cactus.
Oh.
And what you do, you put the bottom in like a dish of water to absorb the water every 5 weeks for a couple of minutes, and it should stay alive for like a year. It's like a Tamagotchi, an eco-friendly Tamagotchi.
That's
no
cool.
No batteries included. You can put it on your phone as a phone charge charm. You can use it as a key tag. Great for eco-friendly promotions, or if you just want to do something fun, like, hey, come grow your company with our company, you can send that out. You'll find that by Milano Worldwide Corp, ASI 71170, or find them online at www.milanoworldwide.com. All right, that's all the time we have today.
For ASI Radio.
ASI Radio.
Radio.
In the morning. Oh, thanks to today's show sponsor, Haynes, and ASI Education. Tune in next week where maybe we'll have the full crew in here again.
And a special speaker.
Oh, a special speaker. Next week we have
Stephen Covey.
Stephen Covey, who will be doing a special session at ASI Chicago this July. So you want to hear his words of wisdom next Tuesday at 10:30 East Coast time. See ya.